Good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 12. Our text is verses 37 through 43. Now, in this passage, we're brought once again to see that salvation is the work of our God. We know that no man seeks after the true and living God, not according to his nature. He doesn't seek to know who God is, not the true and living God, and he never will, except God first be gracious to him, except God first turn the heart to behold the living God and to behold his salvation, to look to his servant whom he has sent to save his people from their sins. We do that when he gives us the Spirit and gives us life, being born from heaven above, being born again by the Spirit. And so man cannot be saved but by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being left to himself, we reject God, we refuse God, we fight against God, we go our own way, we're stubborn, we're ignorant, we're in darkness, we're fools. We fight against our God. And so unless God is gracious to us, unless he gives us a new nature, unless he gives us his Spirit and faith to believe on him, we shall never, never look to Christ unto salvation. We shall never look to him unto salvation. And there's no debate about this. The scriptures are clear. As Jonah found out, salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's all of his grace. I want us to see this morning that salvation is God's gift, and that gift is wrought in whom he chooses, those whom he is pleased to be gracious to. Whoever God sets his love upon in eternity past, they shall be given hope and faith and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You that hope in Christ and have no other righteousness, you hope in him because he's given you that faith, because he's delivered you from darkness. I've titled this, God Makes the Difference. God makes the difference. If our God isn't gracious to you and doesn't forgive you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never believe on him and you'll perish in your sins. So the Apostle John here, in writing this, he's showing us here that the will of man, our will, we see ourselves in this by nature. This is what we are left to ourselves in our nature. We are a hard, dark soul. We're full of blackness. We're full of sin. We're full of enmity against the true and living God. We are enmity against him. And left to himself, we grope about in darkness. We think we're religious. We think we're on the right track. We think we're doing good things. But it's our hope is found in our doing. Our hope is found in something we've done by nature. That's where we are. Until the Lord says, no, it's not you that saves you. It's not your will. It's not your running. It's not your works. It's Christ that saves us. And so here we see that man can have very God himself standing before him, the very light of God, the truth of God standing before him, and he does not see it, and he does not believe. And let's see that there in verse 37, John 12, 37, but though Christ had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So Christ is standing there. The very Christ of God, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily right there before them. They saw all his miracles, they heard his words, yet they believed not on him. And our Lord did many wonderful miracles. He fed thousands from just a few loaves and a couple fishes. And he healed the sick. He cast out devils. He healed the blind, giving them sight. He unstopped their ears. He loosened the tongue. He raised people from the dead. He raised others from the dead. He gave them life again, and yet they would not believe on him. Even though he did these miracles, and no man can do what he did except God, were with him. And he taught them, when he spoke to them, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And regardless of all that, those things, the majority of Jews did not believe that he was the long-expected Messiah. He wasn't just concentrated in the ruling Jews, the Sanhedrin. It was even the people. It was even the people. And I know that because after he rose from the dead, most of the nation still perished in their sins. Most of the nation did not believe on Christ. And so they heard of him. They heard what he did, and some saw him, some heard him with their own ears, some saw his miracles, and yet they did not believe on him. As it says in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so, man is spiritually dead, and even with great preaching and great teaching, it's not going to make a difference for him if he's left to himself. They had the greatest teacher and the greatest preacher, Christ himself, and they did not believe. And so we see, except God be gracious to a sinner, they will not believe. They will not hear what God has done for his people in his Son. Turn over to Luke 16. Luke 16. And our Lord gives us a parable beginning in verse 27. Where this truth is illustrated, that we can see miracles, we can hear the truth and not believe. So Luke 16, verse 27, our Lord is illustrating a truth using a rich man and a poor man who have both died. And the rich man went to hell and the poor man went to heaven. He went to what's called Abraham's bosom. So it says, verse 27, and the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, speaking to Abraham, that thou wouldest send him, this poor man named Lazarus, who was now in heaven, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we know that by this time several had been raised from the dead. And we know that Christ himself rose from the dead. It says after he rose from the dead, that there were saints who came up out of the graves and went and showed themselves to others. It says that in Matthew 27, 52 and 53. And so they saw some come up out of the graves, and yet they did not believe. Now, Isaiah had prophesied of this truth, and what he spoke was made evidently clear. What we were seeing here with these Jews of their unbelief, of them standing before the Messiah and seeing these miracles and hearing the truth that he declared, they saw this, but what Isaiah already spoke about this. He already declared that this would come to pass. He spoke by the Spirit of God declaring this day. And it says in verse 38, in John 12, 38, it's the reason why they didn't believe is that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. All things written of him must be fulfilled. And it's what he spake. He says, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, faith in Christ and belief of the truth, it's a revelation that God gives to his children. The arm of the Lord that Isaiah is speaking of there is Christ. It's the arm of his salvation. It's the arm of the Lord that brings deliverance to the people of God. It's how we are saved. It's by Christ himself. And who's believed this? Who's believed the report? To whom has it been revealed? So that we understand that the salvation of God is a revelation of God to whom he will, to whom he will be gracious. You hear, and you hunger and thirst for his righteousness because he's gracious to you. He's given you that heart. He's given you to see your sin. He's given you to see that you cannot work a righteousness for yourselves because he's gracious to you in showing you the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we often get to thinking that there's something that we've got to do, that there's something more that I've got to do, I've got to be doing, be about doing. No, it's Christ. Look to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy household. The Lord is merciful to his people. There's nothing we can do to work for our salvation. And that, brethren, is given to you. It's revealed to you by the grace of God, because man left to himself hears it and does not believe the report, because it's not been revealed unto him. Now, those words, that's taken from Isaiah 53, verse 1. And we know that chapter. That's that glorious, grand chapter which describes the sacrifice that your Lord made to put away your sin by the death of himself, when he went willingly as the servant of God to be the surety, the salvation, the deliverer of his people by bearing their sins, going to that cross, and as our high priest, offering up himself unto the Father to make an atonement, to pay for our sins, to obtain that atonement, that covering, that covers all your sins and makes you righteous and accepted with the Father, and to have peace and reconciliation and fellowship with him. The wages of sin, we're told, is death, and we earn that. We earn that by our sin. That's what we've earned. That's what we get for all our works. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of your God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he freely gives in grace because of what Christ has done to obtain our eternal redemption. He's gracious to us. And so Christ is the arm of the Lord, and he has come to obtain eternal redemption for the lost sheep, those who fell in Adam and lost everything and could do nothing to restore it and to regain what was lost in Adam by their own works. And so we read in Isaiah 53:11, Christ shall see of the travail, the suffering of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And so the lesson that our God is giving to you is to behold the wonderful, the power, the glory, the preciousness, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is our salvation. He has obtained your deliverance. He is the Lord's salvation for his people. Apart from him, there is no salvation. There's nothing we can do. And so the fact is that we have no part in our salvation. All we bring to the table is our sin. That's all we have, is sin and shame and misery and corruption and enmity. But Christ comes and he puts that all away by the death of himself. He bore that punishment. And so that further glorifies Christ in our hearts and in our minds. As he said earlier in John 12, the hour has come that the Son of God, that the Son of Man be glorified. And that's what your God does. He glorifies the Lord in your hearts, knowing, Lord, thank you. I've got nothing to boast in, nothing, no works of confidence for myself, Lord. You've done it all by your Son. And so God left man to himself in a state of nature, and the reason why he does that is because it shows us the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. It shows us that our nature is nothing but rebellious against God. When you read of these Jews here, we're seeing what we are left to ourselves, that this is exactly how we would be. And we're foolish to think that we would be any different than how these Jews were to Christ. I used to say things like that. Man, if I was there, I would have believed on him. I would have been one of his greatest disciples. No, I wouldn't. I'd be right there crucifying him physically, wanting him to be put to death. And so I've got nothing to boast in. And by the grace of God, you know it too, of your own selves, that we too would fall far short and do fall far short of the glory of God. And so our nature is veiled with blindness. It's veiled with foolishness. It's veiled with dark and false ideas about ourselves and about God. And we must be, that veil must be delivered. It must be taken off. We must be delivered from that darkness. And so in the midst of all that foolishness of man and that pride and arrogance and thinking he knew what was what, the grace of our God came right through that weakness, came just walking right through the midst of us when we were fighting and warring against God, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ who came and went faithfully to that cross to put away the enmity and the sins of his people, to deliver us and to obtain life and restoration for us with holy God. And he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Much fruit. And so that's what our Lord and Savior was purposed to do. That's what he was purposed to do, to establish the covenant of grace, that God may be gracious to you justly, that there's no fault with him being merciful to you. There's no fault with God in being gracious to you now, because Christ paid the price in full. He put away all the sin, that God may be gracious to us. And none of the princes of this world knew it. In all their wisdom and all their might and all their hatred and enmity against God, they didn't even see how that the weakness of God coming in the flesh of Christ accomplished the salvation of his people. Because God is so much greater than any of us. And that's a comfort, because we see how we wreck things. We see how others wreck things and how we wreck them. And yet God is on the throne ruling and reigning. And that's a great comfort, because we're ignorant. We're fools left to ourselves. And so what a mercy, what a grace. So the princes of this world didn't know, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then we'd be left in our sins. There'd be no atonement for our sins. And so Christ faithfully did all the will of the Father. And with men shut up in darkness and unaware, Christ being made a willing bondservant accomplished our salvation. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Peter, when preaching to the Jews, said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And that's because whatsoever God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done was brought to pass. God was accomplishing our very salvation. And so that being done, it's because God alone is God. He's sovereign, and whatsoever he pleases, that he does. That he does. And it pleases him to save his people. Let's read Isaiah 45. Go there. Go to Isaiah 45. And we'll read verses 5 through 7. Our Lord says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And so we see that in our nature, we're far too confident and far too cocky and think far too highly of ourselves. And when we think that our will is the deciding factor in our salvation, that's deceit. We're being thieves and liars, and we're idolizing self. When we think that it's our free will that has accomplished God being gracious to us. If God does not save us, we shall die in our sins, and we shall stand before God in judgment only to hear the eternal sentence of death, because we'll have no covering apart from Christ. And so we see in these that we're all idol worshipers. We're all self-righteous and worshipers of self until the Lord reveals his glory to us, until he delivers us from our false delusions and this idea that God loves us all because we're God's children. We naturally have that thought or want to believe that about ourselves. But the Lord teaches us in his word that those whom he loves, he saves with the blood of Christ. He washes them with the blood of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "We're bound to give thanks unto God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God," this is the distinguishing factor, "because God," if it wasn't for God, we would continue in darkness, "but God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." If God has set his love upon you, he comes with his Spirit and separates you apart. We don't separate ourselves apart by our works. God separates us apart to hear this gospel, and he works faith. He gives faith whereby we believe the truth of God. Our hearts are set on him, and we believe, yes, he is the salvation, and no, I can't save myself apart from him. And yes, Lord, save me, wash me in the blood of Christ. "Whereunto he hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we see nothing was going to interrupt, nothing was going to stop you from hearing the truth and believing the truth by the power of God. It was God's will and purpose to call you to himself, to call you in the name of Christ, by Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've obtained salvation by our Lord and Savior. Now, we may go a long time in religion, and we may hold on to a lot of vain, foolish ideas about God and what kind of relationship we have to him and why we have a relationship with him and what we've done to improve that. But when our Lord comes with power, whatever works we did, they dissolve into dust. I don't know, have you ever been cleaning up the yard or had a pet or something like that, and you look on the ground and you think it's something, you pick it up and realize, oh, that's dog poop or cat poop, or you realize you're cleaning up outside and you realize, whoa, that's a mouse carcass or something like that in your hand, and you let go. It becomes, you know, it's filthy to you, and you wash your hands. That's how it is when the Lord comes with power. He shows us that what we were holding on to and thought was our righteousness and our good works is nothing but dung. And we let go of it. And we don't want to have any part with that or stand in that for our righteousness, because the Lord shows us the preciousness of Christ and how he's pleased and accepted with him and not with our works. Job said it this way when he saw the Lord in Job 42 verses 5 and 6. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." He heard about the Lord. He sat in services and heard a lot of true things about the Lord. And he thought he knew the Lord. And he says, "But now mine eye seeth thee." Now I see who the true and living God is. "Wherefore I abhor myself." I hate myself. I hate my works. I hate the confidences I had. "And repent in dust and ashes." They've all turned to worthless dung, and I see that I have no hope, no righteousness, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Isaiah's experience was as well. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read it from John first, what John says in chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, and then we'll go to Isaiah 6. John records it this way, verse 39, "Therefore, the Jews could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, 'He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them.' These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." And so John's telling us Isaiah was brought to a point where he saw the glory of God, and he spoke of the glory of God. He declared what he saw according to the glory of God. And Isaiah tells us that the Jews here, standing before Christ, seeing his miracles, hearing him speak, they didn't see that he was the Messiah. And it's because God hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. And here we're told in verse 1, we'll begin, and we'll see what Isaiah saw. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Up to this point, Isaiah was a devoted, faithful servant of King Uzziah. He loved King Uzziah. King Uzziah was a godly king, and Isaiah loved him, and he loved to serve him. When he served the king, he believed, "This is my duty unto God. This is how I give God service, is serving King Uzziah." But God removed the idol of Isaiah's heart. He loved Uzziah. Supposedly he was a cousin of Isaiah's, and he loved them. He believed this is wonderful, and he loved serving them. But when God removed the idol of his heart, then Isaiah saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And we're told in allegorical language that Isaiah was born again. What he's saying is, "I saw the Lord," and he became a new creature, born of the Spirit of God. When it says his train, God's majestic robe, picturing his Spirit, when his train filled the temple, what he's saying there is that the Spirit of God filled my body. It came into me and gave me life. And I saw and beheld the true and living God. I saw his salvation. I understood that he's the Lord and I'm nothing. I'm nothing in myself. He's everything. He was filled with the Spirit, because our body is the temple of the Lord. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3:11. So we see how the Spirit of God fills his people, the temple of his people, whereby we know the true and living God. It's how we know him and believe his report. It's his revelation to us. And so Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord being born again. And like Job, he saw the true and living God and was never the same again. He was a new creature in Christ. It says in verse 5, Isaiah 6:5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then we read that an angel, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, came and touched Isaiah's lips and removed his sin. So we see that coal, that tongue, that altar are all pictures of Christ. Just as your Lord has fulfilled every office for you, everything that we need for salvation, Christ is all of it to us. He's the coal, he's the tongues, he's the altar, he's everything. Everything that purifies us and makes us acceptable unto the Father. And so verse 9, we see that God sent Isaiah now to preach the word of God, saying, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, And that means hear with close attention, pay close attention. These people were listening very closely, very intently to what was being said, but understand not. And see ye indeed, meaning to look intently, but perceive not. And what he's saying there is they're not going to understand. They're not going to look and behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They're going to hear that it's their religion, that it's their works, that it's their doing that saves them. They're not going to behold Christ. They're not going to rest in Christ. They're going to keep hearing what they want to hear, and they're not going to believe the truth of God. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And no, just because you get sleepy in services sometimes does not mean that you're not a child of God. Your hope and your faith, your confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you that look to him and know that he's all my righteousness, if I have not the blood of Christ, I have nothing, no hope before God. He's all your confidence. Your heart has not been made fat. He's opened your ears. He's opened your eyes. He's opened your heart and filled you with faith and with his spirit. Trust him. Because I know when we read these words, we think, well, what if that's me? Because I'm listening, and I'm trying to listen, and I'm trying to hear. And Lord, I want to believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You that believe on Christ, that's grace. Because you wouldn't believe on Christ, except it was grace. There's no one looking to Christ and calling upon the name of Christ and for God to be merciful to them for Christ's sake that will ever perish and fall short of the glory of God. Because the flesh doesn't believe on Christ. The grace of God working in you by his power, creating that new man, that's whereby we look to Christ and believe him. Otherwise, we would just be happy and content in our dead religion and our lifelessness. Our belief that our works, our dung is what saves us. But you believe Christ. You believe him. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is making known to his people that he's the one that makes the difference in our salvation. And we see it here in these Jews. We see it. The world boasts that salvation is our choice, that it's our doing, it's our works. And the Lord shows us that's death, that's blindness, that's deafness, that's fatness of heart and not believing the truth. You're not hearing what the Lord is saying. And they're continuing under strong delusion. But Christ told the Jews in John 5:40, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. That's the free will of man. It's bound in sin and darkness. It can only do that which is wicked. Man's going to do what man's going to do. And what he does is wickedness. He will reject and will not believe the truth. And so Paul says in Romans 9:16, so then it's not of him that willeth. It's not of man's free will. It's not of him that runneth. It's not by our works of righteousness, but it's of God that showeth mercy. It's of God who reveals the arm of the Lord, the salvation of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's accomplished our righteousness. He is our righteousness, and he fills us with his spirit, making us born again, whereby we hear and believe, and behold, not my works, Lord. Don't let me stand before you my righteousness. Lord, bring me before you in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, clothed in his robe of righteousness, clothed in him. So after reminding the saints of God what we were before our Lord had mercy in us, look over at Ephesians 2. After he tells us what we were, how that by nature we were dead in trespasses and sins, by nature, we walked according to the course of this world. By nature, we were under the spell of the prince of the power of the air, and that we were just like the children of disobedience and the children of wrath. After showing us that, our Lord shows us who makes the difference, who the difference maker is. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It wasn't your free will choice of God that saved you. Our God first, while we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up, verse 6, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because that's where we're accepted of God, in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we know that all men have not faith, but God's saints are given faith freely, graciously. He purifies our hearts with the faith that he gives us, because that's the gift of your God to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any vain thoughts and ideas and fancy ideas that we do something for God, look back in our text now in John 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They recognized that this Jesus of Nazareth, there's something special about him. It seems like he is the Christ of God, but they loved themselves more, and they loved the praise of men, and they wanted to be included with those, the majority of the people, and they didn't want to be cast out from them, and that kept them bound in their prison, and they just continued in their darkness. They heard, but they didn't understand. They saw, but they didn't perceive what they were seeing. And so they continued in their wickedness, and they continued in their false ways. They didn't repent of them. Turn over to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. And first, while we're there, let's look at verses 17 and 18. Romans 9:17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And so, unless God has mercy on the sinner, that sinner is going to continue doing religious things, and they're going to do things that they think are good, but they're going to fall short of God's glory. You know, even Pharaoh had some changes of heart at times and did things a little differently and said he was going to be merciful to God's people, and then his heart would turn and he'd go right back to doing his hatred, continuing in his hatred of the true and living God. And so man does what he wants to do, and being left to himself, he's going to reject Christ. He's going to refuse Christ. He's not going to rest in Christ. But when the Lord comes with power and gives you of his Spirit, you're going to do what you want to do. That is, in the new man, which cannot sin, which can only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we look at this flesh, and we see things that we think we ought not to see, and we're troubled by our sin, yet we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's all my righteousness and all my acceptance with God. And we can't turn from Christ. We have no confidence in self, no hope in ourselves. These Jews didn't have that. They just figured, well, I've got a backup. I've got an alternative. I've got another means of righteousness for myself. But the child of God says, I have nothing else. If I have not Christ, I have nothing. I have nothing. I have no righteousness. And so he keeps us there, being born again of his Spirit. And look at verses 22, Romans 9, 22 and 23. Paul says, well, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his grace, of his glory, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. You that hope in Christ, you stay right there. That's the grace of God working in you. He's given you that. He's purified your hearts by faith. And I wish I'd said this in the last message, but you that walk according to the truth of the gospel, what he's saying there is you walk by faith. You walk by faith. You're not looking at what you see. You're looking at the one whom you see by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's your hope, praise God, because he's the one who made the difference in you. You didn't do it for you. God did it for you in grace and in mercy. So take comfort and bless his name and rejoice in him and praise his name, because that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity, is rejoicing in him and singing his praises, and we'll be happy and content in it. And so, praise the Lord, brethren. All right, let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. We see in these Jews here, recorded in this chapter, what we are by nature. And we see how foolish we are, how blind we are, how ignorant we are, and how hard of heart we are. But Lord, we that have no hope in our own righteousness and have no hope in our works, Lord, it makes it so much more evident to see your mercy, your grace, your power, your effectual working in us, Lord, to deliver us what we could not do for ourselves. We could never get free of the bondage of sin. But Lord, you've come with power and glory, and having wrought our salvation and deliverance by the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, continue to bless our hearts as we behold and sit in wonder and awe of our Savior on the throne. Keep us ever looking to him and trusting his righteousness alone. And Lord, we thank you for it, because we know that that's your work of grace in us. You're the difference maker. We have nothing to boast of but Christ. Thank you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen.